If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
Thunderpants!
What are you laughing at?
Laffy Taffy. They have a funny joke on every wrapper, and I love how fruity they are. Banana's my favorite. Want one?
Sure. Mmm, so smooth and creamy.
I like to eat them after school and after dinner and after...
Whenever you need a good LOL?
Yeah! So, here's the joke. What do clouds wear under their shorts?
Thunderpants. That is good. Laffy Taffy. Deliciously funny. Head to LaffyTaffy.com to shop now.
At IKEA, your dream home is a blue bag away. No matter the size of your space or budget, we've got everything you need to turn your dreams into reality. And now with new lower prices on hundreds of our most popular products, bringing the dream home is even easier. Like the gray Strandom wing chair, was $369, now $299. And the IKEA Plus 365 9-piece cookware set was $129.99, now $89.99. And hundreds more. Shop new lower prices at IKEA-USA.com today.
Yeah, Taryn's back to give you deeds again. He's digging deep on Survivor to find you everything you need. So if your life is packed, let Taryn and his friends break down the episode beyond what the casual see. Taryn's update for Survivor.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the RHAP Survivor Stockwatch Podcast. I'm your host, Art Armstrong, and I am here today with a friend of mine, Brendan. How are you doing, Brendan?
Yes. Glad to be back, man. Glad to be back.
Yes.
Good to chat with you.
Regular on the Survivor Stockwatch.
Yes. Yes.
More regular than how I do my intros, probably.
Maybe. I don't know.
I don't think I've had it the same any
time. You haven't locked it in this season?
I don't know. For whatever reason, I just, every time I go for it, I'm like, wait, how do I do this? And then today I started with RHAP, which I don't think I've done before.
You have to have the, you have to have the confidence. Like I was listening to the know-it-alls before this and, they were talking about how Jeff's just making up that, now this is the set price of five, the classic Survivor. I genuinely didn't know what he was going for when he went, some of you who are deep fans of the game, you know, to remember key milestones. Like that's basically how he teed up the bartering for Rice Chad, which is very funny to me. So you just got to commit.
It's a thing now. He's made it a thing.
Yeah. I mean, it is a thing. It's just he played it up like, you know, tribe swap, the merge.
The sitting out rights. Of the challenges.
Yeah, exactly. Bartering for rice. Or not rice. It was the sitting out of the challenge. That's right.
They did get rice.
It was both.
He came in hard with a hard bargain this time. He said, no negotiating. In fact, if you turn me down, if you play around with me, I'm going to make it worse for you. Next time I give you an offer, it's going to be higher. I couldn't tell if he was saying like next time I come at you with an offer or if he was saying like next immunity challenge, I'll give you the same thing, but it'll be six people out of 10.
I think that's what he was saying. That's how I read it anyway, was that he was saying that the price would increase the more that they, which is, I don't know. But it's weird because Jeff seems to love the idea in the past seasons of people sort of more bartering with him. So I don't know if he wanted someone to be like, have a comeback for that. Though I'm not sure what that would be.
Yeah.
Well, they should try to do it. They should like do a thing where they're all just like, they're basically just like, you know, we're all sitting out of the challenge, Jeff. There is no challenge.
No challenge. Yeah. If we all sit out.
Yeah, exactly.
Then what are you going to do? Now you have no challenge. So now you give us the rice so that we compete.
That's right.
Yeah. All right. Well, this is, of course, the podcast where we rate the players based on how well we think they're doing in the game from 1 to 10, 1 being the worst and 10 being the best. Of course, it is a difficult thing to judge, especially because we are on basing it on an edit. But we are going to do our best here to figure it out as we go and talk through a little bit of this episode. I felt like it was a very strong episode. Like right up until the end.
Yes, I also sort of felt like it was one of the better episodes of the season, and that it was kind of building to an interesting shift in the game. But then, yeah, by the end of it, I just felt like they kind of tipped their hand a bit. For me, I'm not sure if we're jumping around or not, but it kind of tipped. To me, when they showed Cassidy writing that vote, I was like, I don't think they're showing us this.
That's what I said in the moment.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah.
I was completely shocked. I was like, whoa, why are they showing us Cassidy's vote for Ryan? Like,
yeah.
That makes me feel like it has to be not Ryan. Because why would they show us that if it wasn't not Ryan?
Yeah, no, I mean, having watched enough Survivor, I mean, you just kind of get used to, you know, and again, the thing is that it's like Survivor, you know, it's like they think that that's going to trick us. But we know that people throw a vote for vote splits and so they think in our minds that we're going to watch it and think like, oh, she's voting. Well, she wouldn't vote for Ryan. She wouldn't be left out of the vote. And it's like, well, no, they probably had her cast that vote in case Janine used some hidden idol or Shot in the Dark. I mean, is Shot in the Dark still a thing? Because I was thinking about it. This seems like a great week. This seemed like a really good week. It's not
a single person has used it this season.
No, they haven't. And this was especially one where I was like, Janine, come on. Like, she's got to use it.
Yeah, that was the thing. Like, how did nobody, not a single person, they're all voting for her. This is not a blindside to anyone but Janine, supposedly. Yeah. And nobody thought to be like, hey, Janine, I mean, I get it. You might feel like, oh, what if there's a secret vote split on me or something like that? But like, what about Owen? He's immune.
Yeah. It's been, I feel like this episode and why I think it's been one of the better ones of the season is I finally think we're starting to get a sense of the tribe dynamics finally. Cause I felt like I was thinking about this, watching the episode and thinking about the stock wash and all this stuff. I'm like, this is the first episode where I have some sense of if James is playing a good game, because he's been like in this situation in the first two episodes where he's been the decoy boo and people have been like, you know, trying to evade his knowledge, his power. And then this week it was pretty clear that at this point, at least, he's in a good spot. So it's just, so maybe he always was. So it's difficult to sort of tell what's going on with some of these people in the early part of this merge thing.
That's what I was liking about the episode, you know, up until I think a lackluster finish for me was that it felt like the complete opposite of the previous episode where we spent most of the time on the immunity challenge and then the rest of the time on like Secret Santa idol swap. And I felt like I had no idea why anything was happening. And in this one, it felt much more like, okay, I'm getting a good solid understanding of where things are. Getting a sense of like, how does Owen feel about everything that's been happening for the last like five, you know, votes? Oh, great. Now I know he wants to work with the underdogs. He wants to regain control. He wants to like get some footing in the game. What does Ryan think? I've been so confused about like, where does Ryan stand? When he came into the merge, he was like, I'm not going to work with my tribe. They suck. Why is he still working with them? Well, he's apparently fallen back in. He's like a loyal soldier now. Good to know. He's just off getting fish. What about Sammy? Why did he flip? He explains that. He tells us where he stands. He wants to have control in this game. He wants to move over. I'm like, okay, we're getting personal stories and then tying them into the strategy. And it's a great blend, a great mix. And then the end of the episode comes and it again is just like, This goes against everything you told me in this episode. Mm-hmm. Like, it wasn't even that surprising that it happened. It just is like all of the character building that you did in this episode feels like, okay, what was all that talk about wanting to make a move? What happened? Like,
I know. It was tough. And it was one of those, I wonder what is the answer to this? Because it's like you're saying, the problem is we had all this character development, but it felt so deeply tied to the idea that everyone wanted to get rid of Ryan, right? That it seems so the fact that then that didn't bear out and we were never really given a clear, so it would almost have been more interesting if the episode would have focused a little heavier on James and Cody and Carla and these people. Now it was nice because they've been heavily featured in other episodes, but they seem to be the ones that were more in power, you know, and they clearly at one point were talking about getting rid of Ryan and then totally backpedaled off it. And I feel like we didn't get their perspective as much as we got Sammy and Owen and all these people who were supposedly putting together a huge move that then just didn't sort of, and Cassidy, we got a bunch of Cassidy at the end, which seemed to be, you know, was that just because, I mean, obviously the things with her and Ryan, we've seen that, but it almost seems like they did that because she wound up being the one casting the stray vote, you know? So they fashioned that together for that gotcha moment that was not a gotcha moment.
Yeah. For me, I just would have liked to have seen, like, I felt like it was a very straightforward vote. It was either Ryan or Janine. There wasn't like some like super blindsided reason to be hiding motivations. So for me, it's like, okay, you've given us, if James were to vote out Janine, this is why. And if he were to vote out Ryan, this is why. So I understand from James's perspective, but from Sammy, Owen, Noel, Gabler, why are they voting that way? I don't know. Like, you could have, I felt like they could have given us a scene where it's like, oh crap, we're hearing that something might change. We might need to vote the other way just in case. We don't want to be in the minority, whatever the case may be. And then at least when it goes that way, I'm like, ah, they went another way. But the way that it went down for me at least was like, hold on, why? They had the numbers straight up with between Cassidy, Sammy, Janine, Noel, Gabler, and Sammy or whoever else I forgot, they had at least, you know, six votes there. If not more, because Noelle has a steal a vote, which, you know, I get it. She might not want to play it here, although I'm not sure we can talk about that decision. But like theoretically the whole thing was, they talked about, we only need one more vote. We only need one more vote. They had that vote. And even Carla seems to be like, I'll give you my stamp of approval. Like, did Carla come down hard and say, no, I won't be okay with this? Did they decide they didn't want to go against James? We're in the preview for the next episode. Owen's like, I knew we couldn't trust James. It's like, what do you mean? You voted with him. I don't understand. And why do I have to watch the next episode in order to understand this one?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I know. It's just one of those things where this one just, and again, maybe I'd feel differently if they hadn't done that Cassidy fake out thing, a little, not totally differently, but a little bit more, that I would have been like, oh, they just kind of needed to surprise me because it was a straightforward Janine vote. And maybe I would have been like a little more appreciative that they did that. But with the way it standed, they didn't really achieve either goal. So it just wound up being a real sort of lackluster ending to what is an interesting episode. And, you know, it will be interesting to see, maybe some of this stuff will bear more fruit, you know, next week when people splinter off and they're in smaller groups and they feel more emboldened to make moves. Maybe we'll finally see Sammy or Owen or Cassidy make good on some of these moves, maybe, but we'll see.
Yeah. I actually really liked this episode. I was really liking this episode for a good portion of it. I thought the beginning, and starting this episode, I begin to piece together at least a little bit of what was happening in the previous episode. So like in retrospect, I feel like this episode made the previous one better, especially with the big like drop reveal that Jesse is actually holding on to Janine's supposedly lost idol. I completely did not like catch why Dwight gave it to Jesse.
I don't know if that was in there either. It was just he got nervous. Was that what he said? He used some word.
Yeah, like I was streaming and I was so shocked. I was like, oh, I think I missed the reason. And then the chat was like, nah, we didn't hear it either. Like, he just said he was nervous. I was like, well, I don't get why. Why are you not letting Janine, like if you gave it to Jesse because you were worried you might be voted out, which is weird because why would you give away an idol if you're worried that you might be voted out? And then like, it's like, okay, so then tell her that you've given it to him unless you want to give it to him, but he's the one orchestrating your vote.
Yeah.
Like, why didn't, I'm confused about it, but hey, it made for a good moment when we learned that Jesse had it.
Yeah, it was one of the most exciting moments of the season, honestly, in the moment, just having that realization, especially with how much speculation there was about just the idol and all this talk about it. And it was just talked so definitively about how crazy it was that Janine's idol was out of the game. And so then to kind of have that surprise in the next episode was great. But yeah, it would be interesting to know, and they didn't include it in the episode, so I guess we'll find out later down the road. But it would be interesting to know like where that happened. Like, was Jesse that lucky? Like, had he already set up a Dwight blindside? And then Dwight was just like, here, why don't you take this idol? Was that an influence into why he decided to flip?
It had to be, right? Had something to do with why he ultimately went with Dwight over Noel. I feel like it had to have played some kind of role. We get a little bit of an explanation. Like, apparently Sammy found out at the last minute. But and then like he, I guess, wanted Janine to lose her idol, which does make sense, I think, from Sammy's point of view, because it makes her a more appealing target than him if they were to take shots. We talked about this in the last couple of stock watches. Like, it's actually not that beneficial for an ally to hold an idol, especially if they're not going to play it on you. So letting her lose the idol was fine from my point of view for Sammy. And then getting in on that majority was great for him, obviously.
Yeah.
And then having this motivation to be like, I don't want to stick with this majority though. Like, I want to play this game. Sammy has really won me over, over the course of the season. I feel like I came in very like ageist, very like this 19-year-old kid. He flipped his whole tribe around just because he wanted control of his starting tribe. Like, I feel like this is going to backfire in his face. But so far he has continued to, I think, play very well. And the only thing though is that this apparently failed. So I don't know anymore.
Well, again, it just depends. Now it's going to be about, he's saying the right things, and maybe this week wasn't. Maybe, there's a lot we don't see. Maybe this week, if we had all the information Sammy had, we'd go, okay, he made the right move. But he's got to do this at some point. He's not wrong that he's at the bottom of this kind of power structure of the seven, and that there's a lot of, and he's losing, original tribe allies. Even though maybe those weren't the people he was totally ride or die with, he's still losing people who he should be hypothetically closer than some of these other people. So at a certain point, he's going to have to make a move. At a certain point, he's going to have to do this. So we'll see if he actually does it. Because once he does, how I feel about him as a player would go up even more if he's actually able to stay on the right side of the votes, keep collecting this information, and then finally, if he can make good on it, that's a huge, potential.
Yeah, I mean, to me, this feels like such a dangerous place for him because he just attempted this sort of flip, essentially, and he almost got it to work. And then seemingly, from what the edit showed us, James kind of flipped it back. And if I'm James, that means, okay, I just won an influence war with Sammy. I don't want to have to fight another one. Like if this guy's going to come and try to influence the direction of this group, try to like take shots at my power base. I want him gone ASAP. I don't know if James is going to be thinking that, but it's what I would be thinking if I was in James's position. And if I was Sammy and I just attempted something and it failed, I would be very nervous that like, okay, I just tried it. It didn't work. Like, now I'm in an even deeper hole than I thought I was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's why, I mean, next week or a vote soon, I mean, it's like, he's got to do it. It's him. It's
Gabler, it's Owen, it's Noelle, and her vote. And that's got to be it right there. I mean, that's, I mean, I don't know if there's anybody else on the other side at this point that he can fully trust at this point to want to kind of make a move like that, or that isn't already closer to someone else. You see, all these people are a little bit closer. I think when you look at the other people in that alliance, they're all a little bit closer with each other than they are with him. It seems that way anyway.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. You might say all kinds of stuff when things go wrong, but these are the words you really need to remember. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. They've got options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, have coverage options to protect the things you value most, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
Hey, welcome to IKEA, where even this desk is circular.
Huh, how so? Looks pretty rectangular to me.
It's because we're always looking to repair, reuse, and relove our products, like buying back your IKEA items for store credit. Or shop our as-is section for great deals. You can even order free spare parts. Get on the circular path for a more sustainable future.
Still a rectangle.
Get started at ikea-usa.com/circular. Visit ikea-usa.com/circular for as-is information and buyback and resale terms and conditions. Spare parts not available for all products.
And Ryan was also an interesting sort of like target. I think a lot of people would initially say, and this was my instinct too, was like, why Ryan? Like, he's the least influential. He's literally just out there, you know, catching fish. He says,
rice is nice, but fish is a little bit better.
Like, that's what he's up to.
He's not really making tight bonds with anybody except for the fish.
Just with the fish.
But
that's kind of why he went for it, because he didn't want to split the game in two. He didn't want that, like, seemingly didn't want that 6-5 or even 7-4 vote split. He wanted to pull Carla with him. He wanted to get the group on board and be able to maintain the ability to play both sides. And so he tried to get the big group to be okay with eating one of their own. And Ryan was the most acceptable sacrifice, and it almost worked. Yeah. So, like, I can't fault him for his target choice, because I think that at the end of the day, it nearly landed. But at the end of the day, it didn't ultimately land, even though they did have the votes and a vote steal for extra security. Still didn't work, though.
Yeah. I think this is one of those things where, even though it's clear Ryan has not made sort of, and again, not to say that Ryan's I should just fish for people strategy worked necessarily, but I think what you're seeing is that, well, he might be a little removed from the strategic conversations. I don't think he's necessarily someone that people are not enjoying having around. And I think that is where I think it was tough, is that, like you're saying, he was the most attractive option, but I don't think we've gotten the sense that people are like just over Ryan as a person. And I think that might have been what he needed to kind of pull this off in the way that he wanted to, or that Ryan was paranoid. And this thing, it's the merge, right? Like you're saying. So someone who's like, I'm going to go fish all afternoon is not really, I mean, we've seen it with some people early in the season, you know, it's the nervous players that are constantly coming up to you and going, is it me? Is it me? Oh my God. You know, all this stuff that wears on an alliance, and they go, this person's too paranoid, this person's scheming, we got to get rid of them. And so, even though the chances of Ryan winning the game on his fish strategy are basically zero, it probably will be hard to flip a vote on him unless it's the right circumstance where people are just worried about him physically. And that's really the only way he's going to go home.
Mm-hmm. And then again, like, the thing for me is, okay, Cassidy is very on board with this, which makes sense because she had that whole thing with Ryan. And she even says,
you want to take these big just because you want them to be like competitors? I just don't know how great of a strategy that is. That's not going to win you a million.
Love that.
Yeah.
Cassidy coming out strong in this episode. Really enjoyed Cassidy in this episode. So for me, it's like, again, just questions. Did Sammy and company know that they had Cassidy so strong? Did she cast like a sympathy vote unbeknownst to them? Did they not feel like they could trust her vote? Where was the disconnect between them having the number? Did they feel like we could pull this off, but we don't want to break our ties with James and Carla? Yeah. Like, did Carla eventually say no? I don't know where this disconnect was. Hopefully we find out in the next episode, but I was definitely pleased to see Cassidy taking a stand here, and even casting this vote, I think, is not a terrible play for her. She can own it. She can have Ryan mad at her all she wants. Like, Ryan doesn't seem to have a lot of like sway in the tribe, in the merged tribe. So, like, him being mad at her is probably fine. Come for me all you want. It'll just make people feel like somebody's coming for me. And I think that like it gives her sort of ammunition if she makes it to the end to be like, look, I was doing my own thing. Like, I didn't just follow the crowd. I upheld my own sort of like standards for how I wanted to play the game.
Yeah, no, she's in a really interesting spot. I was thinking about her a lot more watching this episode and thinking about getting later on to ratings and these things. Is she's actually in a great spot right now, but is, you know, she's in that spot where I'm not so sure she's beating Carla if they're sitting at the end together. That's the problem. Her game would be looking, so like you're saying, she's going to have to find ways to distinguish herself from, I guess, not only Carla, but James. And this episode really kind of reaffirmed to me that the three of them are still working together pretty seriously. At least that's what it seemed like to me from what I was seeing in the episode, even the way she's talking to James, giving his game a negative rating, not too fond of what he's doing. That shows that there is a bit of a rapport there, and clearly they feel comfortable with one another too also. So I think that's clearly a three that we can kind of re-lock in on. You know, I feel like they obviously were in the pre-merge, and then, you know, again, these first two episodes of them being together were so all over the place. It was hard to tell who actually was still working with who. And I think she's going to have to find ways to stand out from the pack, especially from what Carla's doing. And even James, who's been kind of the face of Alliance in some ways.
Yeah. And then there's Owen, who again, like, has this sort of big thing in the episode about like, I want to take a stand. I want to like make something happen. And then by the end of the episode, he is voting with the majority for Janine to leave. The only sort of like hint for me was like, as to his motivations, was during Tribal when he says,
I just want to be on the bus this time.
Like, maybe that was the reason. Maybe he just was like, maybe that's why he didn't even let Janine know that she like could use her shot in the dark. Like that's the thing too. Like, you know, why not? Just have her play the shot in the dark. And then if it falls on Ryan, oh, well. Somebody else, not you, because you're immune. Oh well, who cares if you voted right? I don't know. I just don't understand.
Yeah, if you're in Owen's spot and you have immunity, it does feel like you should be more interested in stoking a little chaos and getting a little chaos going at a vote like this. Because, like you're saying, he was going home this episode probably if he didn't win immunity. So worst case scenario. That if he has the necklace, then the worst case scenario that happens at the end of this vote is he plays a little too hard, he stokes a little too much chaos, and everyone wants to vote him out. Well, he was already there. So really, he can't get in a worse spot by trying to shake up the game a little bit more aggressively. But, you know, things change all the time. And maybe we've seen this happen a lot in Survivor and Big Brother. You know, you survive a cycle where you were the one to go home, and if you can just survive, it's not always so clear as next time Owen loses immunity, he's out. So maybe he'll still be okay. But yeah, it would have been interesting to see if he should have played a little bit looser, maybe a little riskier, because he may not have the luxury of playing this risky again.
Yeah, like for me, Survivor is very much, especially in the modern era, like a game of survival. And so if you need to rat out your ally or throw your ally under the bus or not play your idol for an ally or like whatever, like any kind of selfish move that normally I'd kind of advise against in Big Brother because it's such a team game and it's such like a power-based structure game, Survivor really can sort of flip on a dime. And surviving one more round can change everything for you in Survivor in the modern era. It used to not be quite that way. But in the modern era, that is how it is. But what that doesn't mean for me is that if you are already immune that round, that's when you need to throw stuff against the wall for me. If you're not in a good place, like, yeah, things could turn around for you. They could also not turn around for you. And they could turn around for you if you do something and it works. Or they could, like, you know what I mean? Like, the thing for me is that you're surviving to the next round anyway. And you're not giving up any kind of immunity in the following round. So so for me, it's like, I'm always going to, I think, advocate, unless, again, maybe he did have something super solid. Maybe he made some kind of arrangement or deal with some kind of new group to make this vote. And he needed to make sure that Janine went home with this vote so that he could solidify that group. If that's the case, you know, criticisms redacted, like solid play. But obviously we didn't see any of that in this episode. So like as I see things right now, as they are presented to me, it seems like, what the hell? Why didn't you do that?
Yeah, yeah. It does seem like there had to be more that he could have done. And I mean, look, he's going to have to. He's in that same thing as Sammy, where these people have to do something soon. Same with Noelle, what we talked about with her having to steal a vote and not quite using that this tribal. And that's fine, I guess. But now you got to use it next week or the week after because time is rapidly running out for those kind of, if you want to say those three that are on the bottom.
I think that, like, for me, I think if I'm Noelle, I'm heavily considering using this steal a vote this round, right? Because it can actually make a difference and it can put you in a majority in a pretty good spot. I think I don't know what her bond with Janine was, but it seemed like she was probably one of the closer people to Janine at this point. Hard to say based on the edit, but I think there's definitely an argument to be made that she should maybe use it. That said, if they are going to do like the split, try a split like five and five next round or anything like that, the steal a vote does become very valuable in a five person vote. And so holding on to it, prepping for a situation just like that is not something I'm going to be too down on because she could find herself in a really game-changing situation where, you know, there's five people voting and she can, you know, use the steal a vote to like really like hammer something home there. So, you know, it could go either way, but I definitely again, according to the edit, it seemed like it never even crossed her mind. It's totally possible she was considering it, but I feel like why not add that in is like added, like, oh, what if she uses it, you know? But
No. And again, that's why this episode does set up next week pretty interesting because we're going to see, you know, depending on how the numbers shake out, we're going to see if these people take advantage of this situation. You know, we heard a lot of talk this episode about making a big move and, you know, making a move on the power structures. And, you know, we didn't see it in the vote. But we're going to get to see now in the next episode what happens.
Mm-hmm. All right. Are we ready to rate the players?
All right.
All right. Let's do it. I did have one more soundbite just because famously or maybe infamously or maybe maybe none of those things, I don't really like tribal very much. I find it really boring. And
yes.
There was a great example of why in this episode. I really felt like Jeff just reached peak, just like talking in circles when he asked this question.
Cody, when you feel comfortable, does that make you more nervous that you're feeling comfortable?
I get more nervous when I'm comfortable.
So when you feel comfortable, does that make you uncomfortable that you're comfortable?
Yeah,
you know what? Now that you say it, I am uncomfortable when I'm comfortable. This is great insight. I'm so now you're uncomfortable, which should make you comfortable.
Yeah, it's tough. This tribal council, it really has not been as captivating. I mean, I don't know. It's almost been so uncaptivating this season that it's like, was it always like this? And I'm just forgetting. Like, I remember usually, you know, in a Survivor episode, you know, it's tribal starts and you're just kind of like on the edge of your seat. Like, okay, all right. What's being said? What's going to happen? Looking for little clues, looking for little gestures of kind of those kinds of things. And yeah, this season, especially, I feel like it's just been sort of like, yeah, it's been kind of more of the same, these sort of metaphors about these kinds of things. And, you know, I don't want to go so far as to say bring back live tribals, but there needs to be some middle ground here. You know, there needs to be some middle ground we need to find between these sort of stock answers and feeling like people are still sort of playing the game and that things that are being said still matter in some way. And again, if it means that there's not a lot of stuff at the tribal council that matters, then like kind of like we've been saying, take some time away from tribal.
Yeah.
I can't imagine that, you know, I would finish an episode or come on a podcast like this and be like, you know what, man, tribal was too fast. We got to the vote too quick. You know, wanted to say like, what kind
man,
of,
I really wanted to, I really wanted Jeff to ask more questions about how comfortable people felt. I really wanted to get the rating out of 10 of how comfortable everybody felt.
Yeah.
Like, I completely like, cause like, I'm not like saying abolish tribal.
No.
Like, have tribal. It's last, apparently some of them last for hours anyway. Right. Like, I would like to be more strict about what makes the cut. I would like to like, you know, cause sometimes things do happen in tribal. Sometimes they lead to live tribal. Sometimes they are just like funny moments. Sometimes they are just like strategically interesting, stick to the plan, stuff like that, right?
Right.
I want those things. I want opportunities for those things to happen. But when they don't happen and everyone's just talking about how comfortable they are to the point where they're not comfortable anymore, I'm kind of just like, we could have cut this out. Like, I would have rather seen more time on the island. I would have rather seen like, you know, again, like more explanations of like, well, if I don't vote out Ryan, this might be why, like stuff like that. Like, I'd like to see more of that and less of
tribal. Well, increasingly tribal can almost feel like a recap of what we've already seen. Like this one was almost like a recap of Janine's like, I feel nervous. Owen's like, I can't trust anybody. And then Sammy's like, you need to make moves. And then Ryan's like, I was fishing all day. And it's like, okay, these were the story things that we got. Like, this is all the stuff that you set up really well, like in a great way, set up all these really interesting things for the episode. We don't need, you know, 5 minutes of everyone sort of restating, you know, sort of what role they were playing in the episode's narrative.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's get to the ratings. Let's rate these players from 1 to 10 based on how well we think they're doing in the game. Of course, again, beholden to an edit. Here are the photos of the cast. If you're watching along, of course, we have already lost Dwight here in the corner. Mm-hmm. And Janine has also now been voted out. But we will start with Janine and give her a rating as the most recently voted out player. I feel like she really got the short end of the stick here. Between losing her idol via Dwight last round, which is hard to blame her for. Like,
everybody was swapping things around.
Yeah, she just like happened to pick the wrong person. And now, to be fair, we now know that like it in part might have been one of the reasons why Dwight left. And it might have been kind of a targeted attack on her idol. So maybe a little bit more blame can be attributed. But that was also last episode. And then in this episode, like, you know, the person she actively campaigned to, Cassidy, was the only person that actually voted with her. Like, everybody else fell through. I think she did a decent job of like getting Cassidy on board. She was almost able to survive this round, but at the end of the day, like, you know, she just fell here. And again, it's like, I don't know exactly why it fell through. So it's hard to judge like what she did wrong specifically. You know, but I think overall for me, it's again, it's not like this is an episode where Janine sends herself home. Like, I feel like for me, it's kind of like a round of four.
No. And I mean, look, if Owen doesn't win immunity, there's a very good chance that he goes home and she's the one sitting there going into a shakeup at the final 10 potentially. And so, you know, she wasn't in a terrible spot. It just, she never, it always seemed to line up for her to, as you say, get the short end of the stick. For me, though, it's hard to say because it's definitely not a one. You can't give her a one here. But for me, I think it's still probably a two because you've still got other people from her tribe, like a Sammy, like a even a Gabler, people who are kind of able to stick around. And she just didn't seem to be able to integrate into the tribe. Like, and I don't think, I mean, as much as she seemed to be really smart and have a good mind for the game, I don't necessarily think if Owen goes home this tribal, she was going on a dream run, you know, to winning the season. Even though she was a great player in a different set of circumstances, maybe. But yeah, I this just wasn't. We just didn't see it in this iteration of the game. And I wanted to say one thing, which is interesting. Oh, go ahead.
Oh no, I just like in the last Stockwatch, I had said that I thought she was going to, or in the two Stockwatches ago, I think I said I think she's going to be in a good position with Ellie moving, mm-hmm. with Ellie being voted out because she can mm-hmm. work as kind of a free agent. Then we saw her actively work as a free agent, and I said that was good, but I felt like she was a little too obvious about being a free agent. She was going to everybody saying, hey, I'm a free agent. And I was concerned about that. Then in this episode, we hear specifically, I think from, it might've been James or it might've been Cody, say like, she's dangerous because she's such a free agent. And I was like, oh, that was exactly what I was concerned about in the previous episode.
Yeah, yeah. And what I was going to say before is when we talk about this thing, I thought something that Owen said in the early part of the episode really struck me, which was this idea of when you come out on Survivor and you can't fit in with the group, you sort of feel like there's something wrong with you and you're back in high school and you're not able to kind of get along with people. And I was thinking about how in some cases, you know, I'm sure people go on Survivor and maybe learn something about how they're perceived because they don't integrate with the group, maybe. But, you know, it is just, you know, 17 to 19 to 15 random people. You know, you pick any, you can come up with a group of 15, 16 people that any of us might not fit in with the majority of that group necessarily based on not super meaningful things, you know? And so it's tough sometimes when you go out there, certain people just, someone's got to wind up kind of outside of it. And sometimes it's not something really, you know, troubling or problematic or worrisome about a group mentality or about the person themselves. It's just sort of, you know, this is not the people for her, you know, to kind of flourish.
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, it's something that I try to sort of point out as often as I can that, like, you know, we talk a lot about like Survivor, Big Brother. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of luck involved, and the biggest piece of luck involved is who you are cast with. Just straight up. Like that is the most influential thing that will happen to your game ever. It is the biggest factor. I am firmly of the belief that anybody can win Survivor. Anybody can win. Anybody can play a really dominant game of Survivor or Big Brother. Literally anybody on planet Earth can do it if you have the right people in the game with you.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you know, look at the world and like the various people that have won, you know, political games, like anybody can win anything given the right people around them.
Exactly. And that's not to say, I mean, we've seen that there are so many unconscious biases and things that do set people back. So that is a real thing that happens every single season. So I don't want to minimize that, but it can, sometimes someone can feel ostracized for personal reasons, and it can be just, not their fault, you know, even if it's not even something like that, you know, it just depends on the group of people.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I mean, we've seen that too with like the new diversity sort of initiative in casting, over the last couple of years, lo and behold, with a new sort of like formula of casting, we're getting new kinds of winners. And I think that says a lot about all of that, the unconscious bias, the people that you're with, like all of it. So,
And those things are still going to exist, and they're still going to come up, but you just hope that, you hope that, like you're saying, that this is going to continue to kind of bear positive signs, with the casting. You know, none of that stuff's ever going to fully go away, but it's interesting to, you know, track that as we see they took some change.
Yeah.
With the cast.
All right. Who else should we talk about here? Let's talk about Cassidy, the other vote for Janine. Or with Janine, I should say. On Ryan. I gotta say, I liked a lot of what Cassidy did here. Obviously, she was unable to sort of like sway the field. And that's not a great sign for her. But I do still think her position is really solid. I think that casting this vote, for me, is a good move. I'm like, especially if you are in the position Cassidy is in, like, I am of the opinion that, yeah, I do want to be doing things that will stand out. I do want to go against the grain here, because the worst thing I can do is just kind of like stand still and hope that the current takes me in the right direction. Like, I want to actively make sure that I'm planting flags, so that if I do get, you know, dragged in the right direction, I can be like, hey, you see that flag though? Like, I was doing things. So overall, I liked what Cassidy did. But I do still find it like, okay, what is her path to the end? If she's there with Carla and James, I don't think this vote is enough to overcome the potential influence that they clearly have had. Like, James won this battle, with her, which means she needs to get there with other people. And, you know, I haven't seen a willingness to do that. Like, you know, from Cassidy's point of view, why didn't she go and talk to Sammy and the rest of them and be like, yo, I don't care what Carla and James want. I'm with you. Let's go. You know, I don't know if that would have been a good move for her, but like, if she felt that strongly, that's potentially something she could have done. I haven't seen her exert influence. So that's definitely something that, because I think she'll need influence in order to overcome the barrier of the Carla James threat factor. So for me, I think it's around a six right now.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I might go a little bit higher here. Maybe a seven, because I see, you know, long-term potential, you mm-hmm. know, to go deep in the game. And I see a savviness, and you know, a potential ability to kind of recognize the position in the game. But yeah, it feels like some things are really going to have to change in the power structure and who's making the decisions, to see kind of that go much higher than that, I think, for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. What about Ryan? He got two votes here. He bonded with some fish. How do you feel about Ryan?
I mean, pretty low. Pretty low. I mean, I don't want to go so low because he didn't go home. And like I was saying, there's things I guess he must be doing right to not completely lose, you know, the tribe. I don't totally feel comfortable giving him the same score as Janine because he didn't go home, but I'll give him a three. But I don't think he's playing a particularly strong game. We just don't see him in a position of power or making, you know, any kind of real moves at all. And, you know, he spent the whole episode talking about how the seven was locked in and all this stuff. And, well, the seven held together. Real, you know, the real power players of the game were sort of weighing their options and deciding, and the game, I mean, literally the game was happening without him because he removed himself from the game. You know, it's not even like he didn't do it on purpose.
This was not a flattering episode for Ryan, which is kind of a trend, I think, you know, between the episode where he went for it with Cassidy, and which was ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, they really, even though he wasn't voted out, they really went hard on him in terms of like, what a doofus, going out and, you know, playing with his fish. You really get the sense from the episode that he doesn't fare well with a jury vote, even if he does get there.
Yeah, exactly.
And so I do have trouble, you know. That said, given that he didn't leave here, I feel like, okay, now when are you really going to waste a shot at Ryan? Like, yeah. We are getting to the point where you got to start taking some bigger shots. And so I do think he could slide down there, and he is very good at challenges. So I could see him as a finalist. I just have a tough time seeing him as a winning finalist right now. Yeah. So I'm with you at the three.
Well, we've seen that though with people like, you know, these last few seasons, we've seen, you know, challenge
heavy players, you know, like an Xander or something like that, make it to the final three and play honestly better games than we're seeing from Ryan. And, and you know, if someone like that doesn't have the respect of the jury for one or whatever amount of reasons, you know, who cares that they're a physical threat? You know, like if they're, you know, it doesn't really matter. If anything, it's not that bad. They might take immunity away from you, but they also might take immunity away from the person that you want to eliminate. That could actually be a threat at the end. So, you know, it's sort of an interesting new era as Survivor, as we've seen some different types of winners here, you know, and, you know, the big, strong guy is not always going to, you know, be the most, the immunity streak. You know, we even saw that with Sarah Lucina beating Brad Culpepper. You know, it's like you can go and win as many immunities as you want. That doesn't necessarily make you the slam dunk winner at the end. And if that's true, then you don't really need to take out someone like Ryan.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk about James, who seemingly is the one that won the day with this vote, which I think is the right move for him. I don't think it's the right call to let Ryan go, given that Ryan does seem to be loyal to them now. Allowing Sammy to take a shot at you and, like, you know, roll over essentially for him. Like, no, that you can't let him take control, you know, with your blessing, right? You have to push back. You have to make sure you maintain your people. You prevent Sammy from taking control of the game with no resistance. The problem is that by, you know, showing the resistance, you have now sort of like shown your cards a bit, right? Like, I don't have an issue with the move, but it is still something that puts him in a weaker position from my perspective, where it's like, yes, you won this battle, but you had to like send out your troops and you like kind of lost some of your social capital. You had to burn some in order to win this battle. It was a needed battle. It's not like you did something wrong. It's more that like you just had good opposition from Sammy, who like came at you and weakened you a bit here. And so my issue with James's current position is it seems as though, especially given the preview for the next episode, which could be completely false, but it seems as though he's really taken his position as sort of the figurehead of why this move didn't happen. He is the one that put a stop to it. He already was seen as a big threat in the game. And I feel like at the final 10, he is now the tallest head and people are going to be looking to lop it off. And I don't know how long he can survive, you know, through from the final 10 to the final three with that reputation as things currently stand. And that worries me. That said, successful episode here. And I don't want to let the next time on influence me too much. So for me, I'd probably stick James at around a 7. If he recovers really well in the next episode, I'm going to be really impressed. And that'll probably shoot up. But for now, yeah, I think a 7 works for me.
Yeah, I was thinking a 7. As you were talking, though, I kind of started to go down on him a little bit because I, my gut says he's just too big a target and he's too obviously the person to take out. And I would give him a 7 if he didn't have knowledge as power. I still think that's going to be the thing that undoes him in the game because I just don't see how he's going to use it effectively at this point. He doesn't know about Jesse's idol. Carla is, I don't see where that's really going to help him that much. I think, you know, I just feel like people are going to take him out because not only is he this kind of figurehead, but he also has knowledge as power, has a tangible advantage that kind of directs attention towards him. And I think there's a good chance he's out in the next little bit. And I'm not even so sure he's aligned with people that he'll beat at the end in these kind of people like Carla and even a Jesse and these kinds of people. So I think it's a 6 for me. It's too bad because like I was saying, I feel like this episode kind of clarified that he has been playing a very good game up to this point. Like he clearly has been in a good position. Maybe not a great one, but a very good one this whole time. But I don't know. If I really try to be predictive, I just don't see a lot of daylight for him.
This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto Rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations of Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between, offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
All right. What about Carla then? Carla, I believe, had the best rating last episode. I think it's probably been one of the higher rated players all season, if not the highest by a decent margin. And I think I still feel pretty similarly. You know, this was an interesting episode for Carla because I don't think we got her perspective in any meaningful way in this episode. We see that Sammy comes to her with a plan. She is receptive to the idea. She pitches it to James. She seems to be on board. Things change. James, you know, they portrayed it as James changing his mind. But I, even in the moment, as I was streaming and watching this episode, when she pitches it to James and he says, we could do that. I mean, I will do what you want. I was like, they're cutting out the butt. Like he is not on board with this plan. It did not surprise me in the least when later in the episode, he was like, yeah, I don't think we should do this. I was like, yeah, that's the vibe I got. So I don't think James was ever on board with it. But, you know, from Carla's perspective, I'm like, okay, why would this make sense for Carla? You know, A, she's convinced by Sammy and it's not in her best interest. She doesn't see this resistance group coming. B, she has a close enough relationship with Janine that it's like Janine and Ryan are actually interchangeable to me. Like I can maybe, you know, play on the, you know, women alliance thing with Janine and maybe pull her in if I need to and make Sammy feel comfortable in the process. Like this is a great way of maintaining a good middle influential position. If that's the case. And I think with Carla more than anybody else, I have reason to sort of like give her that credit, even though it wasn't in the episode. Then I feel good about this decision. And then ultimately when James pushes back really hard, let him. Now he again continues to be pushed out as this big threat. I get to be like the good guy to Sammy. We keep Ryan, who's still a number for us. Like this all really worked out for Carla. So I'm still feeling pretty good about her. If I got more of her perspective and like why she made the decisions she did, I'd feel more comfortable going higher. But I think for now, I would go with an 8, and that's probably going to be my highest of the episode.
Yeah. She's definitely, in my opinion, would be my highest rated person of the episode. And so it's just sort of thinking about, because it feels like right now she's closer to a 9 than an 8 for me, but it really just feels early. It feels unformed to me.
I gave her a 9 last week.
Yeah. I think I'm going to give her a 9 just because I'm probably going to give some other people an 8. And so I want to have it. I think she's clearly to me in the best position because, you know, when you look at this episode, there was so much kind of back and forth about, was the game going to swing this way? Was the game going to swing that way? And she was maybe one of the only people that it didn't really matter. You felt like, you know, Sammy was bringing her in. He was actually telling her about the potential to do this. So it just sort of felt like she was the person that was going to be the most okay either way. And I think that just says so much about the position she's in at this current moment.
Yeah.
That even if James went home, I'm not sitting here going, well, if James goes, she's going to have to do a ton of work to pick up the pieces. She really won't. It seems like she has a good alliance. It would make it much harder for her, I think, at this point, if James were to go out next week. But I just still have faith in her that she seems to have made strong enough bonds with other people that she's going to have a shot here.
Yeah, I think the reason it's tricky for me is because it's like normally like a whole third of, like, I tend to rate based on like long-term potential to win the game, short-term safety, and like all, and then what they did in this episode. Like there's a whole, like what she did in this episode was like, she wasn't really a huge part of the episode. Like I didn't get her perspective on what she did and why. So it's like, it's tough for me. Like it, you know, it's, it, you know, her being the highest rated of this episode is not because of anything she did in the episode necessarily. It's more because of the position that she is clearly in the episode and my faith in her as a player, like sort of like holding through the episode. But I think a nine is, I mean, I considered it too. Like, I think it's very fair.
Yeah. I just think for me, even though we didn't see her in the episode still confirmed for me that she was in a great position. And almost the fact that, again, this won't be the case for every Survivor vote, but in this case, the fact that it didn't really matter for her game what happened that drastically was a positive at this point.
For sure. All right, let's talk about Sammy. Because I was feeling very positive about Sammy in the beginning of this episode, but by the end of it, when his plan does not go through, I'm feeling like, oof, I don't know. Like it was, I'm impressed that he attempted it. I'm impressed that it almost worked, but it didn't. So I don't know where to go with that necessarily. I don't think he's in a ton of danger yet necessarily. I think you still have Owen in there as a threat. You still have like, some looming other things. He still has the connection to Carla, which is very valuable for him at this point, I think, in terms of survival. So I think he's still fine. And I think that especially as James has like become a bigger target potentially, like, right. If I'm sort of looking at how things might go, it's either James becomes a big target, gets voted out soon and things reshuffle and Sammy has a chance to like really lock something in, or, James maintains control and probably just goes back at Owen next, which is not good for Sammy, but it still gives him time to recover. So I don't hate his position. I like how he attempted this. He almost pulled it off. I think that I have to go with a six for Sammy this week. It could bounce back depending on how things go moving forward. But at the end of the day, I think the failure for me, you know, James beating him out, like James wins this battle. Does he win the war? I'm not sure. But for now, James is higher.
Yeah, I think for me, I think we're almost flip-flopping in the middle. I'm a little higher on him than James, and I'm going to give him a seven.
Yeah,
I'm a little higher on him than James. I'm going to give him a seven. I think he still, I just don't know. And we're going to find out probably pretty quickly next episode. I'm not so sure that he was as exposed this week. I think maybe because it just depends how he came across, right? Because there's a million conversations every day out there about a million different things. And he seemed to do an okay job. We didn't get too many confessionals about, or any really, that my memory of them saying Sammy is playing too hard. Sammy is coming in hot. I guess Carla did a little bit talk about that, if my memory is something like that, but that she wasn't sure what she wanted to do. Or no, I guess she was on board. She was kind of on board.
Yeah, she seemed to be on board, yeah.
Yeah, no, she seemed to be on board. Yeah. I was just trying to make sure I wasn't misremembering something. So yeah, no, so I don't know I think he might have done it in a way that felt like he was just spitballing ideas with his allies. So I'm still optimistic that he can try this again, and we'll have the social capital try this again. I'm still not going to go higher than a seven at all, because we haven't seen him do it yet, right? So we need to see him. He seems to have done an incredible job of giving himself options, of getting on the right side of the vote, of kind of never being the odd person out. But we need to see, there's a lot of great talk from Sammy, and we need to see some action for him to go any higher than a seven this season.
Yeah, I think
if I was rating him season,
it's, I still don't understand why it failed, which is part of like, you know, that. How about Owen? How do you feel about Owen?
It's tough. He had a great episode, but it's tough. I really like Owen, and I think he's finally in that spot. He's always felt, I was worried that he was maybe going home episode one at one point, you know, so he's always felt a little bit like he's been in a perilous position to some degree. though not as much in the rest of the pre-merge. But still, he really has yet to get in a comfortable spot in the game. And he's probably the one player that I feel that could still happen for him. He could really benefit from a flip. A Sammy pulling off a move like this, like Cassidy deciding to do something, a Noel, all this stuff. So I think for me, I still am decently high on him, honestly. I think I'm going to give him a 6. I think he's a smart, savvy player who knows the game. He's shown he can win immunities when it matters. I mean, he didn't just win immunity today. He won immunity when he needed it, I think, which shows even a little bit more that he has that ability. I'm not expecting him to go on a dream run and win the game. I think he's probably got a little too much ground to make up from where he is currently, but I have more faith in him than not necessarily other players this season, but other players in general to get out of the situation that he's in. So I, at this point, I don't mind giving him a 6 because I'm not so sure, especially with it being a different type of format. I think if it was a normal vote next season, I'd be a little more like, well, Owen might just get Janine where everybody takes their foot off the gas. But I think he's kind of made it to the point in the game where maybe he can actually benefit from a shakeup.
Yeah. I mean, I think that, you know, with a potential, yeah, shake up, like a split kind of thing, that does give a lot more life in the game to a player like Owen. That said, you know, it seemed like this was potentially a close call for him this week. It seems like, again, like the plan did fail. And he seems to be lacking in allies and influence here. You know, he could easily be, I think, a target as well moving forward. So for me, I think it's probably more like a 5. But I, again, similar to some of these players, like, you know, things are still enough like up in the air that I could see Owen getting like a big boost if things really break well for him next week. Just like I could see it for James. Carla's already really high, but if, I mean, she could like breathe and move up to a 10 for me. Same for Sammy. So it's like, I feel like there's a lot of potential here. There are a lot of players that could really take a lot of equity out of the game if things break well for them. So that's where I'm at with Owen. Let's talk about Gabler. Gabler wasn't in this episode, really. Where was the Alec Gabler?
Gabler kind of came up to the surface.
And then he went back down.
It was under this episode, yeah. Yeah, it's interesting because, I mean, that's good for him. I think, you know, with the way that he was, you know, the situations he was in, he was kind of at the center of drama and then he was winning immunities. And like, you know, if there's any chance that he was going to somehow, which I don't think is going to happen, but if there was any chance that he was going to win the game, this is exactly what would need to be happening for him at this point, is that he needs to kind of get forgotten about a little bit and he needs to kind of settle in. Rating wise, it's hard not to go too low. Not to go low, just because I don't see a lot of like, I don't think he's actually playing bad, but I just don't really see him truly having enough agency to make. And I just don't see him having near as much agency as most of the people that we've listed. Maybe save Orion or something like that. It just feels like everybody, and maybe he does maybe have a little more than Owen at this point, but I think Owen has a little more potential. I just think at this point, I'd probably give him a 4. I just don't see him as playing the game in a way that is going to be conducive to winning. I mean, he might have long-term viability, but I'm not really sure who he winds up at the end with that he's like beating.
Yeah, I'm with you. Like, yes, he the Alec Gabler went to the surface and then he went back under. Like, he's theoretically achieving that goal. My issue is that, like, I never thought that goal was a good strategy. Don't see him, like, even if he accomplishes that goal, I still don't see him winning the game with it necessarily. I just have an issue. Like, until he is able to successfully win the respect of the people he is playing with, Which again, in some ways can come down to who you're playing with. But given his current position, it just seems like a difficult task. It seems like something I just haven't seen from him yet. It's not impossible, but it just feels, especially with so many other players who are so good socially, like James and Carla and Jesse and Sammy, like it's just like there's so many people in there that I feel like he can't beat. And I don't know, again, that he has the influence and the like power to sort of like take them all out and make sure he gets to the end with people that he would have a better chance against.
I'm just not sure who he beats, because I'm looking at it right now and I'm thinking like perhaps the most like chaos final three would be Ryan, Gabler, and Cody, which would be an insane final three for this season. I just think like Cody's winning. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, that was exactly my point, is it's just like I just think even in that configuration, he's not the winner. So it's very hard for me to. Again, he'd have to almost have an advantage or something. Like this would still be a long shot, but you'd almost have to be like, if he had an idol or knowledge is power or a steal a vote, like that would be his only thing where it's like, maybe he makes the defining move of the game with something like this, but even that would be a long shot, but he doesn't even have that as a miracle possibility.
Yeah. So for me, it's gotta be a three, with Ryan there. Mm-hmm. I just feel like, there's not enough there for me. Mm-hmm. Let's move on then to, let's talk about Noelle, who did not play her steal a vote here. Continues to supposedly be on the wrong side of the numbers. However, again, if we are going into some kind of split next week, then that steal a vote becomes very valuable. And I think that there's a lot of potential here, more so than anybody else, given that she has the steal a vote, that like she literally just needs one other person to vote with her in a 5-person voting situation. If that's what we're getting, I don't know for sure. If that's the case, she can pull off basically any move she wants, and she's going to look like a genius, and she's going to look like a badass. And she's going to come into the final eight looking really good. Granted, there's still a long way to go after that. Mm-hmm. It's not like it's the end all be all. And again, it's not necessarily a guarantee that it will happen or anything like that, but I do think there's a lot of potential there. Similar to Owen in some sense, at least, where it's like, you feel like if Owen ever got traction, he'd be able to do okay. Mm-hmm. If Noelle is able to get into that situation or survive the next couple, like just use that steal a vote to good effect. I think that there's a lot, that could happen there, but at the end of the day, she didn't use it here. She loses another, I think, potential ally. I really like, she seems to be completely alone in the game at this point. Like Jesse and Cody both wanted her out. Like they're the reason why Dwight left. She was forced to work with like Owen and Gabler. Then like even Sammy is like a potential ally, is like not the most reliable person to be sticking her game on. Like she just doesn't seem to have any solid people, which is a rough place to be. So similar to Owen, I'm at about a 5 for her.
Yeah. I mean, I think it feels probably right to give her the same score that I gave Owen. So I'll give her a 6, because I honestly, like you said, the potential is there for a big week next week. But even as you're talking, I'm just not sure that that would even help that much, because I think if she emerged into the final eight as she's already a physical badass and now she's made this big move, I just feel like she doesn't have enough. Like that move doesn't feel like it would necessarily, it might be a great move and it might help other people, and it could help her.
She but doesn't I almost have feel the like power base to ride from that move.
Yeah.
Like you can make the move, then she's at 5 with still no allies, no solid allies.
Yeah.
Like if she had people that would be loyal, then maybe, but.
Yeah, and people already respect her as a threat and see her as a threat. So I think that then her threat status would just go even higher. I think if she actually pulled off that move successfully, which is also still the correct move for her game to do. So she's in a tough spot. It's going to be hard from this point. She was one of those people coming to the merge where it could have kind of gone either way, depending on how it shook out. Mm-hmm. And it just doesn't seem to have shaken out very well for her.
All right, let's do Cody next, and then we'll finish with Jesse then. We'll talk about Cody here. Cody, on a pretty quiet episode here for Cody. Seems to have gotten his way here. He seemed to be one of the people that was pushing to keep Ryan, which again, seemingly the second time in a row now that he's gotten his way, as he was also the person pushing Dwight over Noel. So it seems like he is still being pretty successful here. Cody is similar to Sammy, as somebody that I've just kind of had doubt in, because it feels like what they're doing shouldn't be working. And yet it seems like it continually does. Cody, though, showing more success than Sammy at this point in terms of getting what he wants, but also I think getting kind of less screen time about where he's at strategically. I don't really know what Cody's plan is. I know what Sammy wants now that I've seen this episode, but Cody still is kind of a mystery to me. And for that reason, I have to be a little cautious, but overall, I feel like Cody is in a pretty solid place here. Did really well at that immunity challenge, continues to do really well at immunity challenges in general, which means that if he does make it to the final eight or seven or six, he still theoretically has an idol. He can also win some immunities. So I feel like he is the kind of player that, like, if he gets in shooting range, if he gets close enough, then he might actually just land it. I don't really know how people view his game. If he could win a jury vote, I think he could be like you said, people like Gabler, maybe Ryan. But I don't know how he stands up to Jesse, his closest ally, or certainly Carla or James. Owen and Sammy as potential underdogs. How does he fare against them? I have no idea. But I do like where he is, where he's at. I like what he's done. He seems to have continued to get his way. For me, it's a seven.
Yeah, I would be tempted to go for a seven. I think I'll hold off and still sit at a six because I still am not convinced that he's gonna, like I said, I still feel like his win, like his conditions of who he sits at the end with are, it's going to be tough. I think at this point he probably could beat Owen for sure. If Owen doesn't make any other moves.
I think that seems likely at this point.
So he's, even someone like Cassidy's probably a better, even though she doesn't have what Cody's Codiness. I think she might be a better talker, a smarter talker in the end.
I feel like Cassidy.
Yeah, I just think she's going to be able to sell her story, even if she doesn't make any big moves from here on out. I think she'll be able to sell
her story. Yeah, I feel like Cassidy against anyone other than Carla and James, because Carla and James have been so involved in her game. I feel like they get too much credit for what she did. But if she's sitting against anybody else, I feel like she can probably out talk them.
The thing is, there's nothing to suggest that at this point that Cody is actively thinking about this and creating a plan in place to sit next to Gabler and Ryan, or Ryan and, not having a lot of agency through the game, Owen, or anything like that. So it's hard for me to go too high on him because, like we talked about Gabler, he does have some tools, right? He could win a clutch immunity. He could play the idol properly. So he's got a little bit more going on. But yeah, I don't really see it. I don't really see it. And I think it would, if anything, I think he would more wind up in the right condition at the end than place himself there properly.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
But still win, though. He's in a better spot than some of these people, for sure.
Certainly. All right. Finally, Jesse. How do you feel about Jesse?
I feel really good about Jesse, honestly. I feel really good about him. I think he's, now that he has the idol, I feel great about him because that's that extra little thing. So for me, I think he's probably my number two right now for people, probably an eight for me, because I just think he seems like he's playing aggressively and kind of, but he doesn't really seem to have made any major mistakes yet. And he's got the idol now, which nobody knows about, which is huge because now he has the potential to make a game shaking move by playing an idol in a moment where no one else is going to see it coming. No one else really has that necessarily, you know? So it's going to be interesting to see how he plays. I'm pretty excited to see going forward because I think he's in a good spot and I think he's got people who trust him. And I think when we talk about who are at the head of their alliances, we're talking about James, we're talking about Owen being the outsider, we're talking about Sammy playing too hard and getting caught. I think as long as he doesn't do anything that seems sort of kind of an unforced error in the next little bit, I think he's got a real shot here.
Yeah. The idol is huge for me. Yeah. I mean, and correct me if I'm wrong, but he still is holding Cody's as well, right?
Well, that's what he said. Yeah. That's what he said. Right. So I guess we have to factor that into it. I feel like the show maybe wouldn't have put that in there if that wasn't something that was at least going to matter. At least
I feel like they would have shown us if he gave it back. Right. Like, us that he had it. So I feel like we need a scene where he gives it back to Cody if he's not holding it anymore. And so that means he's holding two idols. And here's my thing. If somebody gives me their idol to hold on to because of a knowledge is power, whatever, like 99 times out of 100, I'm going to give it back to them. I'm not going to steal their idol. Like I don't think that's a very good move. Mm-hmm. But if I already had a secret idol and they gave me their idol to hold on to, I would be significantly more tempted to steal their idol from them so that I could use two idols, because two idols, in my opinion, is significantly more powerful than one idol. And like, there's a lot that you can do with that, from just like making it to final six and being like, suckers, I'm good. Which is a great move. If you haven't tried it.
If you can make it, hey man, if you can make it there.
Or, you know, you could pull a Parvati and, you know, kind of like make sure that you beat a split vote, or beat a guest vote. Mm-hmm. So like, there's a lot of different ways that you can use two idols to really, really, you know, significant advantage, to the point where I feel like if I gave my ally an idol to hold on to and then they pulled off a badass move with two idols, personally, I'd be like, all right, there. If I gave them my idol and it was just one thing and they used it to like do something else, I'd be like, bro, what the hell? But anyway, idols is big.
I was going to say, here's a fun bit of speculation for next week, is what happens if Jesse does still have the idol. They go to the challenge and sometimes they'll do that thing where they split them up and then they go to a different beach altogether, right? They go. And so what would happen if Cody had not thought to get it back, or thought, you're my ally, it's good, I'll grab it for you, you know, grab it from you when I really need it. You know, maybe the Wolves wind up with that, where Jesse winds up with two idols on a beach far away from Cody, and, you know, we'll see.
Yeah. And maybe Jesse needs to play the idol. He's like, sorry, dude, like I needed to play it. Like, luckily you didn't need it. And I like, it just faded out that way. I feel like Cody is the guy that, like, cause Jesse helped him get it. I feel like he said, like, this is for us, right? When he got it. I feel like he's that kind of player, whether he means it or not, like he kind of has to follow through with it to a degree. So I feel like if Jesse has to play it, he can't be too mad. And then Jesse can be like, yeah, I had to play the idol that you gave me for sure. Definitely that one.
Yeah. Well, we haven't. Yeah, we haven't seen this on the show, but like, I almost wonder if because everyone's worried about knowledge is power and stuff, if Jesse and Cody are so tight that Jesse's kind of able to be smooth and be like, hey, oh, I'll keep, why don't I just keep it then? Because then no one will think that, everyone's going to think I gave it back to you. So let me just keep it. I mean, who knows if something like that's kind of happened and Cody's been like, oh yeah, I'm good, it's Jesse, he's my number one or whatever. It's just, who knows?
And that's the thing too, is that like, he can kind of, you know, be like, hey, having an idol makes people more reluctant to turn on you and to put votes on you, unless they're very confident that they can like do it and get away with it and split votes or whatever. Right. So given the fact that people are probably anticipating that Cody might have already given Jesse the idol, like Jesse kind of gets a little bit of that protection just from being in vicinity with Cody. And he also had, like, that idol could also be like the canary in a coal mine, where it's just like, okay, if James pulls off his knowledge is power, steals the idol from Jesse, they now think, boom, unprotected.
Oh yeah.
And he knows I actually have a second idol. So he knows that he'll have to play it if James uses his knowledge is power. So like, there's a lot of different ways that this can like really work out for Jesse. And I think that his position is not great, but between him and Cody, at the very least, there are two idols. And they don't seem like they're the next targets, which means that going into the final eight, probably you've got Jesse and Cody with two idols between the two of them, one of them being very secret. I think that's super powerful. So for me, Jesse is also an eight. I still have Carla as like a higher eight. But Jesse is definitely my number two on the board here. I think there's a lot of different ways that this can go. I don't think the vote between Ryan and Janine meant much for him overall. Yeah. If anything, like having to play Janine's idol while Janine was still in the game would have been a little awkward.
Yeah. No, for sure. It's interesting looking at the, even just like the tribe shake, you know, dynamics within the group, because again, those guys are in a good spot because weirdly taking out Dwight, they've got a great case to make that look at those four over there. Look at Ryan, Carla, you know, Cassidy and James. Look at, you know, Sammy, you know, and Gabler. And these are, and again, Noelle's still there, but they've kind of separated themselves from her in a way that, you know, they might be in a great spot to kind of sit back and watch Sammy go for James and James go for Sammy and Cassidy go for Ryan and Owen go for James and James, you know, it's, there's a lot of potential here for those two guys, the ones who actually have the idols, to sit on them for a minute.
Yeah. And I was kind of critical of the decision to take a shot at one of their own last week. If Jesse knew ahead of time that that decision meant he was going to pick up a secret idol.
Yeah.
I think it makes sense. I think like retrospectively, like I agree with the move if that was a good portion of the motivation behind it. I definitely feel good right now about where Jesse stands with these two idols in his hands. And that's what we've got for the Stockwatch.
All right.
There it is. Interesting one.
Yeah. It's interesting. It feels like because there wasn't a big shakeup in the vote, this episode was sort of a bit of a calm before the storm. Hopefully, it'd be nice to see some stuff go down next week.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, I feel like we keep saying this too, but I this episode, despite again the disappointing finish, and just like in general my frustration with the lack of explanation that we're getting with about the votes. I did again really like what they did in the first, you know, 90% of this episode, where like they really set the stage with a lot of different things in a lot of different ways that felt like I was catching up over the previous couple of episodes where I hadn't gotten enough. So I do feel like even though I don't really know where we are moving forward, I feel like this episode helped me figure out what happened in the previous like two. And so for that reason, I feel good about the episode. And I do think that like bigger updates to my sort of standing and where I see people in the Stockwatch, but again, still a lot of game to be played and a lot of, directions for things to go.
I mean, it's the interesting thing about the show. And when you look at it through the, you know, the lens of us rating people like this, you know, the people that we gave the lowest ratings, Ryan and Gabler, I think were my two lowest. Other than Janine, obviously, but I don't think they're both going home next week, you know? Okay. So even though we look at it and we've put in certain people in a position where they're in a decent spot and not in any worse position than anyone else, next week we'll spread it out, right? Where some of those people will just go home, and probably as a result of those people going home, other people will go higher.
Yeah.
Or lower.
All right. Well, I guess the only thing left to ask is...
Cody, when you feel comfortable, does that make you more nervous that you're feeling comfortable?
I get more nervous when I'm comfortable.
And then wasn't there a great exchange there where Cody almost doesn't know what he's saying anymore?
I mean, that's
and then
what
Jeff is like, I'm with you the whole time. I've been tracking you the whole way. It's like, have you really?
This is a game about centimeters.
Yeah. Jeff was riveted by that. He was like, whoa, you're blowing my mind, bro.
He's like, oh man, I've got the preview for next season already lined up. Survivor is a game about centimeters.
Yeah.
The real monster is the centimeter.
It would be nice if Jeff, maybe he's a great guy to like go up to if you're a fan in a public place. We're like, hey, Jeff, man, I love Survivor. And, you know, for me, I've always thought it's sort of like Checkers meets, and he's like, whoa, man, I've never, you know, you say something completely absurd, and he's like, I've never seen the game that way, man. I've never seen, like, he seems completely delighted anytime anyone compares the game to anything or makes even the most sort of ambiguous, random response, a commentary about the game.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's what we've got for you today. Thank you all so much for hanging out. You can, of course, find me over on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taren Armstrong. Watching these episodes live with all of you. If you want to see my in-the-moment reactions, I'm also watching The Amazing Race as that airs after Survivor.
I've been watching that this season.
Yes. You can find me on Twitter, of course, at Armstrong Taren. Brendan has he's got a movie coming out this week.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. It's called The Friendship Game. It's going to be out in theaters. You can check it. It's in one of the local theaters near you in New York, L.A., I think Orlando, Minneapolis, and a couple other places that I'm now forgetting, which is great. But it's going to be on VOD to rent on iTunes Store or wherever you rent new releases and stuff. It's going to be right there on Friday, this Friday, the 11th. So yeah, check it out. It's kind of a cool horror film, thriller film about this group of friends who find a sort of mysterious object at a yard sale, and it starts to kind of mess with their reality and test their friendships. And it's the summer in between high school and college, so they're already sort of anticipating having to separate a little bit as they go off to different schools, and then things get a lot crazier than that. So it's pretty fun.
Testing friendships sounds right up the alley of anybody that watches Survivor Big
Brother. Yes, yes, yes. That's right. That's right. Exactly right. Yes, it is a little bit like that. And yeah, so it's fun. It's like stars Peyton List, who's from Cobra Kai and a lot of other great shows. And so, yeah, it's great. I'm one of the four kind of main friends in it. It was a really fun
one
shoot.
Of the friendships.
I'm one of the people playing the titular friendship game.
There you go. All right. Well, make sure you check out The Friendship Game. Very exciting. And anything else you're up to that you want to plug?
Nothing specific, you know, just happy to be back on the podcast. And, I wrote and directed a short film called Delivery, which I put up on my YouTube channel, which I, you know, always happy to direct people to that. So, yeah, just been, you know, working on some other writing projects and things like that. And yeah, been doing a little promotion stuff for The Friendship Game this week. And yeah, other than that, just same old, hanging out, watching the shows, you know, doing all that good stuff.
There you go. The Delivery was cool. I definitely recommend people check it out.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I think so.
Short little short film.
Yeah.
It was a good time. So
yeah, man.
Check it out. And thank you all for joining us here today for the Stockwatch podcast. And I will see all of you next time.
Yeah, Taren's back to give you deeds again. He's digging deep on Survivor to find you everything you need. So if your life is packed, let Taren and his friend break down the episode beyond what the casual see. Taren's update for Survivor.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
America, we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. By honoring your career calling, you impact your family, your friends, and your community. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.